Contractors are casting a wary eye on one of President Barack Obama's executive orders. It's called Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces. It seems innocuous. After all, most contractors already comply with labor laws, which the order calls for. Still, the EO could cause a lot of mischief. One person following this closely is Trey Hodgkins, Senior Vice President of the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council, and he joins me now. Trey, good morning.
Hey, Tom. Good morning.
All right. So review what this executive order is all about. It just came out in July, correct?
That's correct. It is the latest in a series of labor-related executive orders aimed at contractors. And unfortunately, it's the most onerous one. It creates a new evaluation protocol and criteria for companies that are being considered for award. They have to demonstrate compliance and no blemishes or minimization of blemishes on their record for the past 3 years of a series of 14 federal laws, labor-related laws, and their corresponding state statutes. So we're talking about potentially hundreds of laws around the country that corporations will have to be compliant with and be able to demonstrate that through the contracting officer and through the responsibility determination in an evaluation. As you noted, companies are supposed to be doing this, and we believe they are, but the challenge here is that we are creating a secondary set of requirements for companies. They're already compliant under the statutes, which already has penalties. This creates a new set of penalties and new requirements. Another challenge will be that the primes are expected to flow this through their entire supply chain. They're supposed to collect this information from all their suppliers and subcontractors and then determine who is appropriate and inappropriate to do business with so that they can maintain their federal government contracts. It's extremely complex, and it's extremely going to be extremely burdensome. And I think, for people who remember, there was a similar executive order near the end of the Clinton administration that was similarly constructed and had similar requirements. And this one has a lot of the same challenges that one had, which was rescinded by the Bush administration.
So that one, the one from the end of the Clinton administration, was revoked by the Bush administration?
That's correct.
All right. So it sounds like there's a couple of issues here. One is the expense of all this. Has anybody looked at what it will cost a large prime, one of the top 20 or 30 or 40 prime contractors, what it might cost them to be able to comply with this?
Well, it's specifically could be cost prohibitive. One of the primes that I work with in my membership has 26,000 suppliers and subcontractors, and they would be expected to determine over the last 3 years their compliance with these 14 statutes at the federal level in any state laws where they apply for all of those vendors and suppliers. So it's a huge bureaucratic and administrative burden, and it will have a correspondingly very large price tag. So the government should expect all of its goods and services to go up substantially in some cases. The other significant burden and cost will be on jobs and the economy. We believe that the way this is going to play out is if the contracting officer will still have the discretion to decide who can and cannot be awarded the contract. They're going to have to work with an official who will be connected directly to the Labor Department called a Labor Compliance Advisor, and that advisor will be telling them who has a good compliance record and who does not. That contracting officer, if they decide the companies that want to compete are not responsible in under the criteria here for whatever reason. And it needs to be noted that we're talking about things like there's a dispute. Someone claims that they were owed overtime. There was a wage and hour complaint filed, and that was processed through the Department of Labor. Or there was a wage inequality complaint, and that was registered with wage and hour again under Fair Labor Standards Act, and that was reviewed and ultimately settled in favor of the complainant. Those are the kinds of things that happen across the country, across the world, with large corporations of potentially thousands of employees. And those are the kinds of things that we're talking about that might get a company in trouble. The economic and jobs cost is that if a company looks at this or is scrutinized by the federal government and they're prohibited from getting an award, we believe it will be a de facto blacklisting. Because once one contracting officer determines that a company is not responsible enough to do business with the federal government, in this risk-averse environment in the federal contracting community, we're concerned that that will trigger others to follow suit. And then it will be difficult for a company to undo that. And once you get, once, let's say, a contracting officer at DOD decides they don't want to do business with someone, then that we believe that will spread across the federal government and potentially into any commercial business that company has. And now we're talking about the loss of jobs and a significant economic impact if we're talking about a large enough company. Or if we're looking at the supply chain and we're talking about, let's say I have 26,000 companies in my supply chain, and based on my due diligence, I determined there are 1,000 of them that don't, for some reason or another, meet a standard that the government may use to disqualify somebody. That's 1,000 companies that are going to lose their access to federal government contracting. Many of those will be small businesses, and many people will probably lose their jobs in those scenarios.
We're speaking with Trey Hodgkin, Senior Vice President of the Public Sector at Information Technology Industry Council. And what about a situation, I'm thinking of Boeing, that they probably have 26,000 subcontractors, probably have more than that. And suppose, maybe a couple of years ago, there was a big dispute with the Labor Department and the administration over locating a plant outside of the Seattle unionized area. They were going to put a new plant in, I think it was South Carolina. Could that kind of dispute come up in a disclosure like this? For a company seeking a contract unrelated to what they're doing in the commercial space?
That's a concern we have, that labor issues, labor concerns, labor challenges that sit in the company's background may be deemed by this Department of Labor to be non-labor friendly and could be deemed to meet the criteria here. They have, the Department of Labor has identified that mere complaints will qualify as something that can disqualify a company. So even without the benefit of due process and allowing a complaint to be reviewed and or resolved amicably between the parties and settled, those things will be weighed against the company if it's just complaints. The other thing we think might happen is that this will trigger protests. Companies will believe they had a good record, or they believe that their record is better than the company that got the award. We also believe that there may be reasons for protest by companies who wanted to compete or subcontractors who got kicked off of the competition. There's a multitude of challenges here, and we're very concerned about the what we believe is the inability of the government to actually implement something of this scope and scale.
And what about the contracting officers? Are they going to get bundles and bundles of paper or disks full of information about 5, 10, 15, 10,000, 20,000 subs to a contractor bidding on a prime?
Well, there'll be that volume of information they'll have to wade through. Now, the executive order calls for GSA to actually create a one-stop portal, although that is very, very unclear to the industry about how that's going to work, what it's going to look like. Is it part of SAM? Is it part of one of the other reporting mechanisms that exist today? But you're correct. A large company, if it's collecting all that information for 3 years from all its suppliers and vendors, or even a single large company with thousands of employees, will have reams and reams of information, I would imagine, about their compliance or any complaints that might have been filed and how those were resolved. So that's one of the challenges we're concerned, and I think the administration is concerned, certainly those who work on contracting, about the ability of the contracting workforce to step in and be able to discern and have the ability to know this is an actual violation and this is simply a clerical error. For example, someone might have been clarified or identified as exempt when they should have been non-exempt and eligible for overtime. Those things happen in large companies, and it's unclear how the government's going to process, and it's also very unclear how the contracting officer community is going to be expected to wade through that information and make the right decisions.
So has the industry done anything about this? Are you talking to the White House? Is there any chance of modifying this order so that it's less burdensome or somehow more rational?
Well, there have been now 4 listening sessions with industry at the White House. They focused previously on groups like the trade associations, the contracting trade associations. Friday, I participated in a meeting at the White House with Secretary Perez and officials from OMB and the Executive Office of the President to review what the concerns were and what we believe the challenges were. And quite honestly, we were pretty frank, and we said that we didn't know that this could be implemented, and we saw very serious concerns about the challenges and the inability of the administration to effectively implement this and the ramifications it would have both on contracting, the availability of goods and services for the mission, and then the broader economy. And industry told them that we were concerned this may end up following the path that the Clinton administration saw taken with their executive order, which was legal action.
And what was their answer?
Well, they said they appreciated our input and they continue to work on these issues. I think that some of these things are easier to address than others may be. We can talk about and try and get some clarity around words that aren't very clearly defined. Overall, we think that just the ability to actually implement this effectively is a probability that's unlikely.
And what have some of the companies done so far? I mean, it has been out since the end of July. Have companies begun this kind of, I don't know, house cleaning or investigation of all of their labor practices and those of their suppliers, or are people kind of waiting to see whether it really takes effect or not?
Well, they're beginning to look at this, but they're really also looking at the scope and scale. And there is no guidance from the Department of Labor, and there is no FAR clause yet on this, for example. So they are closely watching the process to try and understand where they may need to make investments in compliance and understand what they need to do with their suppliers and subcontractors. But there's little clarity at this point. And so I think companies are anxiously waiting to determine where this may go. And we're all engaged as a very broad business and industry coalition that is working on this to try and influence the outcome and change its course. And we're all, aggressively working on communicating and informing the administration, but also letting them know that we think that this has just simply some strong probabilities that it'll be too difficult to implement. We may need to look at changing this in some way.
Is there any interest from Capitol Hill, anyone nosing around this one, or is it just too many things on their plate to be able to consider this one?
Well, no, they're very interested and they're watching it as well, but there's not a lot they can do. There have been some conversations about the funding that may be necessary. There's been some conversations about impacting specific elements of it in a way that would be beneficial to contracting the public sector market and trying to make it more feasible. But I think, again, without the guidance from the Department of Labor and without a FAR clause implementing it, it's difficult to understand who exactly will be the harmed party and where will they be harmed, and then trying to address those points. So we're still at sort of a 20,000-foot perspective. We have concepts in an executive order, and the concepts, are quite honestly scary to industry. And we're concerned about where they may go, but we don't have a lot of clarity about it beyond that.
Trey Hodgkins is Senior Vice President of the Public Sector at the Information Technology Industry Council. Thanks so much for joining me.
Happy to, Tom. Have a good week.